Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you information and discussion of all kinds of health issues in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, as we always do for our new listeners, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between their structure and their function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, and many, many other health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as to offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. And before we start on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience by going to Robinhood Radio's website. Click the On Demand button, then scroll all the way down and select the Your Health shows. Then you can click on the individual show by topic. It's really an amazing convenience. Today, we're going to conclude our series on headaches. Recall that headaches are clinically classified into three general classes. These classes are somewhat arbitrary and definitely overlapping, but they're useful to help us sort out the different types. They are primary headaches that are diseases unto themselves, such as migraine, cluster headache, or tension headaches that we talked about in the first show. Secondary headaches that are caused by another primary agent, such as trauma, injury, infection, like meningitis, stroke, dental issues, or musculoskeletal structural issues, like TMJ. And the third class, which includes cranial neuropathies, meaning pain related to disorders of the cranial nerves and facial pains, or idiopathic pain caused by unknown causes. It's this last group that we'll tackle today. But first, let's again briefly review the crucial anatomy basics so they're in your mind as we continue. Recall that the head and face are made up of more than 20 individual bones that articulate with each other and support the soft tissues of the head and face. Our heavy skull and face, comprised of all these bones and tissues, sit balanced and controlled atop the vertebrae of the neck, like a heavy globe on a flexible rod. And this is achieved through a remarkable feat of bioengineering involving many layers of ligaments that attach bone to bone, muscles and their tendons that attach the muscle to bone, and the fascial matrix of connective tissue that surrounds and connects all of these. The average human adult head weighs 10 to 11 pounds. Also, coursing through all of these complex tissues and moving parts are all the nerves, including all the cranial nerves controlling breathing, heart rate, eye movement, sense of smell and taste, gastrointestinal function, chewing, facial expression, hearing, balance, etc., as well as the arteries, veins, and lymphatic vessels. And the skull is also home to the inner ear and vestibular organs of hearing and balance, the nose, eyes, tongue, and teeth, and the top of the esophagus and trachea, with all the complex requirements for coordination of all of these for breathing and swallowing. And, of course, in the head, there is the brain with the spinal cord emerging out of the skull deep in the top of the neck within the neck bones. That's an amazing amount of physiology anatomy going on in a relatively small space. Dysfunction in any of these tissues can lead to headache, which is why there are so many different types and causes of headaches. So let's delve into this third class of headache in more detail today. We're going to start with cranial neuropathies and facial pains. That's by far the largest topic. Cranial neuropathies are, logically enough, neuropathies of the cranial nerves, meaning disease, damage to, or dysfunction of one or more of the 12 cranial nerves. These 12 nerves arise directly from the brain and have different and distinct jobs to do. Depending on the nerve, they may control or affect movement and sensation in the head, neck, eyes, and/or face, as well as control or impact the processes of speaking, chewing, and swallowing, our senses of hearing, smell, and taste, or they control or influence digestion, respiration, heart rate, and salivation. The 12 cranial nerves emerge from different regions of the brain and travel out to their assigned areas, if you will. Some travel only a relatively short distance, such as the first cranial nerve for the sense of smell, and others travel far and wide throughout the neck, chest, and abdomen, such as the vagus nerve, cranial nerve 10, which is involved in many functions, including heart rate, breathing, and all of digestion. Most cranial neuropathies can cause headache and/or face pain as part of their pathology, as well as many other symptoms that vary greatly depending on which nerve or nerves are affected. Common symptoms can include pain, like headache, weakness or loss of sensation in part of the head or face, or changes in vision, hearing, smell, or taste. Drooping eyelids, numbness or tingling, inability to shrug, inability to turn our head, swallow, or speak are all examples of symptoms that can occur with cranial neuropathies. So what are these 12 cranial nerves? Well, specifically, they are cranial nerve 1, the olfactory nerve, which conveys the sense of smell, cranial nerve 2, the optic nerve, which transmits visual information from the eye to the brain, cranial nerves 3, 4, and 6, which are the oculomotor nerve, the trochlear nerve, and the abducens nerve. These three coordinate eye movement and affect eyelid control and pupil dilation. Cranial nerve 5 is the trigeminal nerve, and that is composed of three distinct parts. The first part, the ophthalmic, the second part, the maxillary, and the third part, the mandibular nerves. Combined, these nerves provide sensation to the skin of the face and also control the muscles of chewing. Cranial nerve 7 is the facial nerve, and that controls facial expression. The facial nerve is also involved with the normal function of our sinuses and the middle of the face, as well as taste. Lesions of the facial nerve may manifest as facial palsy. This is where a person is unable to move the muscles on one or both sides of their face. A very common and generally temporary facial palsy is known as Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy can be the result of infections or of an idiopathic lesion of the facial nerve, in other words, one we don't know why it's happening, and is characterized by an inability to move the muscles of facial expression, including elevation of the eyebrow and furrowing of the forehead. Patients with Bell's palsy often have a drooping mouth on the affected side and may have trouble chewing because the buccinator muscle is affected in the cheek. Cranial nerve 8 is the vestibular cochlear nerve, and that includes two individual nerves, the vestibular nerve and the cochlear nerve. The vestibular nerve is responsible for innervating the inner ear. This structure transmits information about balance and is an important component of the vestibular ocular reflex, which keeps the head stable and allows the eyes to track moving objects. The other part, the cochlear nerve, transmits information from the cochlea, allowing sound to be heard. Cranial nerve 9, the glossopharyngeal nerve, innervates the throat and back of the tongue, as well as influencing the important parotid salivary gland. It's involved in the gag reflex, in taste, and in swallowing. Cranial nerve 10 is the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve has many jobs and covers a lot of ground, hence its name, which has the Latin root for vagus, meaning the wanderer. It is involved in, for example, much of digestion, our heart rate, swallowing, speaking, breathing, and blood pressure control. Cranial nerve 11 is the accessory nerve. Damage to the accessory nerve will lead to weakness in specific shoulder and neck muscles, including the trapezius, sternocleidomastoid, and levator scapulae muscles. Cranial nerve 12, finally, is the hypoglossal nerve, which controls tongue movement. When the nerve is damaged, it will lead to weakness of tongue movement on one side. When damaged and extended, the tongue will move towards the weaker or damaged side. You can have neuropathies, meaning lesions, of any of these nerves. If several different cranial nerves are affected, it is called multiple cranial neuropathies, or MCN for short. Neuropathies have many causes, or they can be idiopathic, meaning we don't know what's causing them. Well, how does all this relate to headaches? Cranial neuropathy headache and or facial pain can be caused by a neuropathy of just about any of these cranial nerves. The character of the headache can vary with the particular nerve or nerves affected. Cranial neuropathy headache is often one-sided and can be localized to the region of the irritated or damaged cranial nerve, for example, behind the eye or around the ear. But that's not always the case. Any suspected neuropathy, such as a Bell's palsy, should be evaluated by a physician as soon as possible. Cranial neuropathy with or without a headache can be caused by tumor, stroke, or infection, for example, from Lyme disease. If infection is the culprit, it can be caused by active infection, or it can be an after effect of the infection, even after the infection has been cured and resolved. It's difficult to generalize about diagnosis and treatment for cranial neuropathy-induced headaches. Symptoms can vary so widely, and the treatment approach can also vary very widely depending on the specific nerve or nerves involved and the degree and severity of the headache and any other associated symptoms. In any case, a suspected neuropathy should be taken very seriously and evaluated by a physician as soon as possible. And finally, we have idiopathic headache, which is a headache of unknown cause. I know that is not really helpful, but unfortunately, there are many occasions where we don't know what is causing a headache, or many other medical issues for that matter, truth be told. Your physician will do their best to determine the cause of a new or chronic headache, but sometimes there simply is no clear cause. Keeping a headache diary can sometimes help to isolate the factors involved when all else has been ruled out. And remember that any new sudden onset headache or any significant change for the worse in chronic headaches needs immediate attention to rule out serious or life-threatening events. So, to review, headaches come in a vast array of types and severities with many different causes. headache diagnosis and treatment is as vast and complex a topic as the anatomy and physiology of the head, brain, and neck themselves. We've looked into all three classes of headaches over the last several shows: primary, secondary, and cranial neuropathies. Each type of headache has different causes or triggers for their origins and repeated exacerbation, sometimes overlapping across different headache types and classes, and sometimes completely unknown. And these can vary widely among individuals and in different periods in patients' lives. Sudden, new, severe headache can be due to stroke or other life-threatening disorder and always requires immediate medical attention. Yet a new headache can also be caused by any of the myriad of types of headache we've discussed, most of which are not life-threatening, but many of which can be extremely debilitating and do require medical attention. It's best to get all headaches evaluated by a physician. Which brings me to my closing points, that osteopathic treatment can be especially useful to help with headache problems, to gently and gradually relieve physical restrictions found in the muscles, vertebrae, cranial bones, connective tissue, and associated soft tissues, including nerves and circulation, to restore optimal range of motion in all joints and associated tissues, to relieve muscle strain and spasm around the head and neck, and alleviate pain and inflammation. An osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine knows how to work gently and in detail with the intricate and extraordinary structures of all your tissues, working with the soft tissues, bones, muscles, ligaments, tendons, and fascias to relieve inflammation and pain, optimize circulation and lymphatic drainage, and help your body restore all your tissues to the best possible structure and function, thereby not only helping to relieve the problem, but also helping to prevent it by making a real difference in optimizing that structure and function throughout the head and neck, and in alleviating discomfort and dysfunction with gentle, precise, hands-on work. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m., with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Well, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time. Meanwhile, take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.